This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
And now on Digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Listening to Rush has anything to do with the next thing I'm going to say.
It's your Sunday morning Rush here on AM 1000.
But November is the month that the Peter Jackson Beatles thing is coming out.
Yes, Disney Plus.
Yeah, in a week.
And I thought it was going to be a wider release than just Disney Plus. And
no,
of course,
no,
I don't have Disney Plus.
Come on.
I know. You know, I do
have it.
Now, because I don't have little kids anymore. They're in their 20s, and I don't watch Disney movies.
Yeah, but see, you can
wait,
get...
Wait, that is like one of the big target demos. Like, when Disney Plus came out, everyone, including people my age, were jumping on it. It wasn't just people with kids.
Yeah.
It's a lot of college kids that jumped right in on the Disney Plus train.
Disney Plus is great.
It has, like, Star Wars stuff.
It has all the Star Wars movies, all the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. So every
Iron Man, you still haven't talked me into it.
Well, and then when you got it, you can package it up with ESPN Plus and Hulu. So for $13.99 a month, you get those three. And you know how much stuff you get from... I have to tell you, now since I watch my grandkids, my inherited
you
grandkids...
You spend time with them.
I watch them.
You don't watch them.
I do spend time with them. I watch them throw stuff around and yell at me and spit up on me and stuff like that. But Disney is a savior.
Well, I get that.
Because like halfway through the day.
Right, I had kids. I get that.
I know, but...
I had all those movies on VHS. I wish I would have saved them. I could have resold them and made a lot of money. That stuff sells for a lot of money.
I never saw Moana before. Now I got to see it.
Yeah,
I've
seen it 117 times.
I actually had never seen a 101 Dalmatians before. Not the old...
I've seen it 102 times.
Yeah, probably. But, so that the Peter Jackson Beatles thing's coming up, I think, in a week or so.
Actually, I think that we can... there's something with our phone plan. We can get it and everything. But I'm frustrated because it's like, ooh, I want to see that. That's on Apple TV.
Oh,
like, I haven't seen Lasso, and it's like, that's on Apple TV.
Oh, and that's the other thing I was going to bring you.
Damn it.
Oh, the DVDs.
Okay. I won't let you off the hook.
I'll bring it to you next week.
So, you know, that, and then there's, what is it, Peacock and Paramount and all this stuff.
I'm a soccer fan. You got to get, if you're a soccer fan and you like the English Premier League, and if you like the Bundesliga or La Liga or Champions League, you got to get Paramount Plus, Peacock, ESPN Plus. Those three things you have to get. And it's nuts. There's so much of it.
Tyler brought up a point about it being attracted to different age groups, and I think it's all about their marketing. As soon as I saw Disney Plus, I thought it's a bunch of Disney movies.
Yeah,
which like little kid movies.
It's
every Disney movie you could ever imagine.
It's like any Disney.
And the fact that they are releasing the Peter Jackson Beatles doc on there is a great way to get other people into that channel.
Yeah.
So they're doing it that way.
Yeah. It's pretty, I'm looking forward to it. I was never a Beatles fan.
Have you seen any of the trailers?
Yeah.
There was one last year that we were talking about during COVID that they cut together just to kind of buy some time.
He even did a little intro to it. Peter Jackson did a little intro.
Yeah. And then there's the actual movie trailer, which shows some other stuff. It's so great to see those guys in the moment as normal guys.
Yeah.
Because we think of them as these huge icons, and we learn a lot.
Yeah, it's stuff that they really had never shown before. It's never been out there before.
Right, and the fact that George quit for a few days, and they were going to call Eric Clapton.
Boy, that's
the guy that stole George's wife, but that's another episode.
Is that another?
A whole other show.
Okay. So the White Sox didn't win the World Series. Either did the Astros.
Newsflash.
Either did the Astros.
No, they didn't.
And I guess you win the World Series. You win baseball games nowadays by hitting home runs. The Astros hit more homers than the White Sox. And then the Braves hit more homers than the Astros. Okay? And so the Braves hit 11 homers in the World Series. And the Astros hit two. Altuve hit two. Nobody hit. So they out-homered by nine.
They went cold.
Yeah. They out-homered by nine. Freddie Freeman hit one in the final game, which was I was happy to see. People were wondering why Rick Hahn didn't talk earlier. Now, basically, he waited until everything was over. Waited until the World Series was over.
It seems like that would be the right time.
Yeah.
I know we want to hear the day after the Sox lose, but this is typical.
Yeah. So he did talk the other day, talked about a lot of different things about the team. And one of the answers or one of the questions for Rick Hahn was, what did you learn from the White Sox playoff loss? Now, remember, they were in the playoffs the year before and won only one game out of three against the A's. Now they won just one game out of four against the Astros. This was Rick Hahn on Friday.
Astros were better than us for those 4 days, or at least three of the four. I think that's the overarching message right there. But look, we got beat in multiple aspects of the game, whether it was from a run prevention or run scoring standpoint, defensively. You know, it wasn't up to par. We were not playing championship caliber baseball over the course of the first week of October, and we paid the price for it. I think there are lessons to be learned. You heard Lucas yesterday talk about the benefit of the experience and that the need for the proper preparation and focus come October. You know, lessons you don't want to learn the hard way, but do come from getting beat. I think to read too much into, again, you know, 34, 35 some odd innings and say we learned X as an immutable truth about this team is a little dangerous. It's a small sample. It was, a bad week. We didn't play up to our capabilities. We know there's areas we need to get better that were on display over the course of those 4 days, but they were also evident over the course of the 6 months if you looked at it. And those are going to be the areas Tony and his staff will seek to improve over the offseason and throughout spring training. And from a personnel standpoint, we'll try to address as a front office.
One of the things they addressed immediately was they got rid of the strength and conditioning coach, Alan Thomas.
I saw that.
Yeah. Whose son is actually a pretty good up-and-coming player. I saw him in some all-star games and stuff like that. But I think I'm pretty sure it's his son. And but they got rid of him. And you think about it, Madrigal out for the rest of the year with a leg injury. Luis Robert went out, hurt himself. Eloy Jimenez was out for a long time. Now, Jimenez will hit more homers. He missed 99 games this year. I mean, it was crazy how many games he missed.
Right. It's almost hard to believe he missed that much, but
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, the White Sox didn't homer as much as they did in years past, but even when they were playing, they weren't homering as much. Okay, you didn't have as many homers from Jose Abreu. You didn't have that kind of stuff.
Rondell came on just a bit.
Yeah, when he came back in 23.
We thought Hernandez was actually going to do something since he hit 18 up until the point of the trade deadline.
Yeah, up until he came here.
And then he hit two?
I think he hit three, but that's it. Yeah,
not enough.
Almost nothing. And they decided they weren't picking up Cesar Hernandez's deal, which was not surprising. Okay, they declined his option, his $6 million option. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to bring him back if they can't find another guy.
Right, but you know what? It was less surprising after the season that he had with us.
Yeah.
That we're letting him go than it was when we picked him up.
Yeah.
Because that came out of nowhere, and that was a swing that Rick took that could have worked out well. It just didn't. And look, we could re-sign him if we can't find anybody else, but I mean, they're out there.
Yeah.
We could do a lot better, and I think we actually have to pay attention to that before right field.
He hit three home runs. His slugging percentage was .299 after hitting 18 homers and slugging .431 for the Indians. So, you know, at that time, you had no idea he was going to struggle like that. Now, Craig Kimbrell, on the other hand, is a guy that posted a .509 in 24 games, largely in a setup role. After compiling a .049 in 39 games with the Cubs in a closer role. Now, Rick Hahn also talked about that and evaluating those trades that he made at the deadline.
Yeah, you know what, Chuck? It's a really – how long you got? Because we can go through this thing for hours if need be. Because I'm of multiple minds of it. I read a book years ago, I think it was called Amarillo Slim in the World of Fat People. It was by Amarillo Slim Perkins, I think was his name, who was one of the first winners of the World Series of Poker. And at some point in the course of the book, he was doing an interview and they said to him, you've won millions of dollars in your career, but you've also lost millions of dollars in your career. How do you deal with those losses? And his answer was something to the effect of, I got to look at the decisions, not the results. And at the time when you make the decision, based on the information you had, was it the right decision? And our acquisitions at the deadline, Tapera, Kimbrel, Cesar Hernandez, were absolutely the right moves to make on a team that had World Series aspirations and the needs that we had. We don't regret being aggressive. We don't regret addressing in what we felt were going to be impactful ways our clear needs at the time. Obviously, it didn't work out because those moves were made with the goal of winning a World Series. You heard me talk over the course of the few months leading up in August and September when you'd asked me about an individual's performance that we acquired. That, yeah, this was going on or that was going on, but really it was about October. So if you judge it from the prism of whether it worked or not, it didn't work at the time for the 21 season. But if I look at it from the perspective of the decisions at the time they were made, they were the right decisions. And we would be aggressive again. I look forward to the opportunity to feel like we have a realistic chance of winning a World Series at the deadline and being aggressive in a manner to add or address whatever needs may exist on that club. From a personal level, it hurts. You know, you want it to work out. That's why we do this. It's to win championships. You want to feel like you're doing everything in your power to facilitate that. And when it doesn't work, you know, you feel that. Those are things that stick with you. But in the end, it's when you look at it from the prism of, was it the right thing to do? And would we do it again? Absolutely.
Okay. The only thing I disagree with, and obviously this is something they had to think about when they made the decision of going out and getting Craig Kimbrel, is you spent a lot of money for a 4-year deal for Liam Hendricks to be your closer. They must have sat down and thought that Craig Kimbrel could be the setup guy. Because when you spend a 4-year deal to a guy to be your closer, you're not going to say, listen, we know we signed you to be our closer, but we're going to bring another guy in and he's going to share the duties with
you.
Right,
right. But remember what Liam said, which was, it really impressed me. At the time, he said, give me the ball whenever and I'll get people out. That's fine.
Yeah.
And it's not that easy.
He's a good soldier.
And that's fine. Yeah. That's part of it, right? As a fan base, you want to hear something like that from your players. But the whole Kimbrel thing still confuses me because I know it's a mentality. But then again, you know, I go back to something I mentioned yesterday. I heard Steve Stone say this several times. He was, you know, what did he have, 27 wins in 1980, whatever it was Steve Stone did. He played for the Orioles. He won the Cy Young. He said there was a pitcher on that staff that went up to Earl Weaver, old school manager that's been gone for years, said, what's my role? And Earl said, when I give you the ball, you get the people out. That's all you worry about. Don't worry about it. Worry about whenever or wherever. So we'd like to think it's that easy. Yeah. I still want to think it's that easy. Apparently it's not.
That's why I got mad at everybody in the station also who ripped Ricky Renteria last year by giving the ball in the playoffs to Carlos Rodon. They said he can't do that. They go, he's a pitcher. You get the ball and you go to the mound and you try to get the batter out.
See, now were they approaching it that way? Because you and I have talked about that.
Yeah.
And it was always, I didn't mind that they put him in. I minded that he was just off the IL or IR and he was, I don't think, mentally ready for that. Because he just came off. He did not have a lot of time.
No, he practiced at the offsite.
Right, right, right. Yeah. That was my... But if they were saying that mentally he's... Like, if he had all this time, he had all... You didn't have the injury, and that was the wrong place to put him. No, I don't agree with that. Mark Burley...
Yeah.
Came in as a reliever, and now
so
we
John
find
Lester.
Out. And now we found out Mark had a couple beers in him when he came in to do that.
Yeah, he's a lot looser. 312-332-3776. We got to take a quick break. Callers hanging there. We'll get right back to you. Talk a little bit of White Sox baseball. Got another Rick Hahn or two to play. Also, we're going to play talk a little bit about the Bulls last night. Another rough game. They lose back-to-back games to the 76ers. We'll talk about that. We're here till noon. Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah, I know it's a football Sunday, but the Bears don't play till tomorrow. Talking some baseball, Rick Hahn comments. Get right to the calls in a second. The Dolphins quarterback, Tua, is not starting today. Apparently, it's going to be Jacoby Brissett starting against the Texans. Tua is dealing with a thumb injury, I think, right? A finger injury. So he's not going to be starting for the Dolphins. So I know that I think that topic was touched on earlier today with Jeff Meller for the Fantasy Football Show at 8 o'clock. So you've got 40 minutes to get your rosters in, I'm sure. So let us know, or don't let us know. We don't care, really, if you're playing Tua or not. Jeff did, but we don't really care. Let's go to John in Evanston. John, what's happening?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, last night I was watching my college football.
Uh-huh.
And I saw on the bottom of the screen that the White Sox are bringing back Kimbrough. And I went completely livid. I'm like, why would you bring back a closer to set up when you got guys in your bullpen that would love the opportunity to do this?
John, I mean, he's going to be traded.
Yeah, they
you know what? I hope they get that second baseman they need.
I don't know if he brings that kind of return. I think we're going to have to sign a second baseman.
Maybe a right fielder.
Well, maybe.
We need a right fielder.
Maybe we have to identify. I think Jesse said the Phillies really need a closer.
Yeah.
So maybe they figure may be a target.
That's what the White Sox
said.
John.
Bryce Harper that's not going to happen.
No, I don't want Bryce Harper anyway. The White Sox they picked up the deal just so they can trade him.
It's easier to trade than to trade him and let that fall on whoever picked him up.
What do you think? What do you think the return would be for him? What do you think the White Sox would ask for him?
Well, I'm like Xander was just saying, if they can get a second baseman and somebody else, or a young second baseman
that can hit on a regular basis.
But you know what? We need a Simeon. We need a Escobar. I don't think that type of player is available for Kimbrel, especially with what he just did.
How about trading him to the Dodgers
for
Gavin Lux? The kid, the kid who
that would be awesome. We could stick him in like center field.
No. Lux is a second baseman. He had to play center field because they had too many other guys
too.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't mind if we picked up a young prospect and still made a big signing, but have that prospect in the system.
Yeah.
You know, because
I think that would be a sweet deal.
Yeah. I see a Sheets, the Vaughn platoon, possibly.
That's right.
I know that's not necessarily the answer, but these are talented young guys. They could, Sheets could develop into that left-handed home run hitter. We've seen it.
Yeah. Well, you know he's got power.
Yeah. I mean,
all you got to do is, make sure that you bring him along the right way and not mess him up now.
Well, and that's the same thing, John. We appreciate the call. Thanks, same thing with Andrew Vaughn, because Vaughn was struggling so bad near the end of the year.
He was.
It was tough. Every time you saw him at the plate, he just was not getting you good at bats.
But we saw it earlier, so we know he could do it.
Yeah.
And he certainly has been adaptable. If he can play left, he certainly could be an everyday right fielder.
Oh, no, he can play right. They could do that. I think that White Sox fans, most White Sox fans, I would think, would like to get a different right fielder and then figure out other ways to use Gavin. Gavin Sheets.
Yeah.
And
Andrew Vaughn.
Right.
I mentioned this to Jesse. Do you know who the last right fielder, stud right fielder, the Sox developed in their system?
Oh, I think I heard this. Maglio Ordóñez.
Yeah.
Right?
Back
in the day. Yeah. Let's go to the South Side. Ron, you remember Maglio?
Yeah, he ran.
Absolutely. Maglio.
There you go.
Look here, guys. I know it's football Sunday, but it's always good talking some baseball. So, a couple of things, guys. Last year, the White Sox needed a right fielder. They got Adam Eaton. So, it didn't work out.
No.
So, let's not make that mistake as far as Vaughn. That's not going to work, guys. And Sheets. Go and get a right fielder. But you know what? The White Sox really have probably a lot of the same questions. They're going to this. And one last thing, guys, the pitching staff. I think Rodon is pretty much gone. I don't know if Keuchel is even a number a five starter. They may, in terms of free agency, may have to get a pitcher. Lastly, Marcus Semien. I think he just hired Boris.
He did.
Yeah. So you know what? I think that price would be a little too much. So they still have to answer second base, right field, and I think they'll still need a pitcher. So you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Ron.
Ron, appreciate it.
Do you think, okay, there's a pile of money. Do we spend it on right field or second base? What's your preference? Jesse went with right field.
Yeah, I would too.
I say second base.
I'd say right field. You can bring a second baseman in to be a defensive guy and be a guy that can field okay.
And not be
worried about your hitter.
Bat.
Yeah, because if you get the
whole... What about a Semien, who is a huge bat, and he is good defensively?
I know he is, because he's basically a shortstop, and he can play both positions. And he was with the Sox before. They actually had him in their system.
Yep.
Yeah.
They did.
312-332-3776. We go to Orland Park, and Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up,
hey, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
Just a quick question, because... You know, the White Sox, it seems like they're always in on every deal that they never get done. When it comes to, like, you know, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, or else they get these guys that are, like, way past their prime. I'm wondering, with all that money that they said they were going to spend before and they didn't spend it, we know they didn't spend it, why don't they go out and get Chris Bryant or somebody like that in free agency that's coming up?
Does Chris Bryant want to be on the White Sox?
Well, the one thing about Chris Bryant...
I don't know, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
The one thing about him, I mean, I know that Scott Boras is his agent, but the other thing is, I think after he went to the Giants, he's expecting to get a kind of deal like Harper and some of these other guys got. And I don't think that's happening.
No.
From anybody. So then the question is, is someone going to over-offer money? Make a huge offer for Chris Bryant. That's going to be really interesting. And I'm sure you and Jesse were probably talking yesterday. We appreciate the call, Mike.
Yeah,
you and Jesse were probably talking yesterday about the possibility of a strike in baseball.
We were. Yeah. We were. And you know, we were using the word lockout. Now, Jesse was very clear in, saying that lockout is definitely a tool to get things to be a little more urgent.
Right.
And he felt like the lockout would be an early issue and would not affect the season. I always look at a lockout as something that would affect the season. I mean, I really don't care if they're locking each other out in January. I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't affect the season. And he thinks it will not. But there's a lot on the table this year.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things they want to put in. They want to put in the universal DH. And anytime you put something in, the Players Association is going to ask for something else. They're going to ask for, okay, you want to put this in? Fine, we give us this. You want a pitch clock? Okay, fine, give us this.
Yeah, well, it's old-fashioned bargaining.
Yeah.
And that's what they have to get done.
NBC Sports Chicago put together a list of right fielders. They have Nick Castellanos, Chris Bryant, Michael Conforto, left-handed Conforto, terrific during the shortened 2020 campaign, beefing up his free agency. But the numbers took a dip in 2021.
Could that be another Nomar Mazara?
Ooh, God.
Nomar had a good season or two.
Starling Marte is a guy who's always listed out there, a gold glove guy. Jorge Soler, listen, Soler was a Cub, and as a White Sox fan, I would watch Soler, and he never hustled. And now he just hits the crap out of the ball. He did it against the White Sox all season long.
Yes, he did.
But he was a problem. He got pulled from games for not hustling when he was with the Cubs.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, someone must have talked to him because he seemed to be
fine.
Well,
what he did for the Braves, he's going to get paid by somebody. I just don't want it to be the White Sox.
Well, it says here, this was, again, on NBC Sports Chicago. It's true, Soler exploded as what seemed to be one of the game's biggest power threats with a crazy 2019 season in Kansas City. Hitting an American League best 48 homers. His numbers dropped, though, this season, just 27 homers. 14 of those, though, came into 55 games he played in the midseason role with the Braves. So he gets named the World Series MVP. He was awful at the plate before the deal. He was hitting 192 with the Royals.
Right.
So you can't, I mean,
that's just really good timing.
He is your Nomar Mazara.
Yeah.
Jorge Soler would be your Nomar Mazara.
Right.
We come back. I'm going to play one more cut from Rakan, and then we'll talk a little bit of Bulls basketball. Bulls lose again to the Sixers last night. We'll hear from Billy Donovan. Bulls are struggling a little bit, but you know what? They're a fun team to watch, and they're playing a good team. The Sixers have 8 wins already this early season. So it's a very good Sixers team, despite the fact that they had a bunch of injuries. And you would have thought the Bulls would have done a better job last night. We'll talk some Bulls after we hear from Rick Hahn, and we can hear from you at 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
We'll get to some Bulls in a second. If you saw the Bulls game last night, you want to talk about Billy Donovan's crew, let us know, 312-332-3776. Rick Hahn talked the other day, and there's a couple more cuts I wanted to play. This is the first one. He said and was asked about faith in the pitching staff and what's going to happen with Michael Kopech next year.
No, that's you hit the nail on the head there. It's the innings base and what can we reasonably tack on to him over the course of ideally 7 months next year. We're going to have to be diligent in our monitoring of him over the course of the offseason, as well as it goes through spring training and over the course of the regular season, in terms of his how the ball looks coming out of his hand, what his mechanics look like, what the data is telling us, what almost as important as anything or more important than anything, how Michael's reporting how he feels. You're absolutely right. The kid has a world of talent. We think he's going to be a potentially dominant starter for a long time, but we are dealing with a limited innings base, and we need to build it up wisely. I'm probably going to be sitting in this chair at some point next summer explaining why we're doing something with Michael in terms of giving him a break in order to keep him strong over the course of that season. So it's nothing that we haven't dealt with before in terms of building a guy out of the pen into the rotation, but it's certainly a project that we need to go into with eyes open and a good plan, and one that has some flexibility built into it based upon what we're all seeing and what Michael's reporting come next spring and summer.
I got to tell you, and maybe it's just me, maybe this is the old fogey in me, but they baby pitchers so much. It's unbelievable. Well, you know, we have to stretch him out a little bit, and he didn't do this. And I understand that, but you know what? This is the major leagues, okay? I loved what Steve Stone said on the White Sox Talk podcast a couple weeks ago on with NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, that was a great one.
He said, listen, he said, Michael Kopech, you can move him in as a starter, but Michael Kopech's got to realize that every fastball doesn't have to be 98 to 100 miles an hour.
Right.
You can vary speed. You can do this. And I talked to some other people, and they said, look, when he came in as a starter and threw those 3 innings a couple times, he was using all of his pitches. But when you brought him in later and for an inning or two, he wasn't. And the second half of the season, he did not pitch well. Everybody yelled and screamed because he didn't play and pitch in game 1, I think it was, in the playoffs. But then when he did come in, the 2 games he came in, he gave up 3 runs in both games. He was giving up the long ball. He gave up home runs the second half of the season. And I think that when you get through his head, he's going to be a starter. You can use all your pitches. You can vary the speed on your fastball.
Finesse. And having a Lance Lynn on staff.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that has, what, 18 different types of fastballs?
Yeah, he's got a bunch, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good guy to have on the staff. So not only did we sign him as a pitcher, he's a mentor.
Right. And
certainly if he's doing that for Michael, that's going to help.
Yeah.
Tremendously.
It would be great. So I would love to see, and I understand he didn't pitch and he was hurt and things like that, but tell him now what you want him to do. Have him work on it in the off season. You get to camp in February. Yeah, you know, or whatever, and work him in and use him as a spot starter early if you want to, and have him spot start, you know, once every 2 weeks or whatever. Whatever you want to do. I don't think Dallas Keuchel.
You're talking in camp or are you talking about?
Even when the season starts, you want to do that, that's fine. You've got a Ronaldo Lopez you can use as a.
Right.
I thought
he was going to be odd. He was part of the starting rotation.
I think he probably
season.
Will be, but they're talking about, you know, we may have to tell you later
so you're
in the
saying
season.
If they need to,
I'd rather baby him early
back.
In the season. You know what I mean? Baby him early in the season. So as you get towards the
you're
end
building
of the year,
up,
you're better and you can go the distance. There's Dallas Keuchel's making $18 million, I think, next year. $18 million. And then in 2023, he's got a $20 million deal, but you can buy him out at $1.5 million. The White Sox could trade a big catch contract for maybe another contract, another guy that's getting paid a lot of money. Because there's one player the White Sox hated losing last year. White Sox fans hated losing. And he's a catcher, and the White Sox need another catcher. What if the White Sox trade Dallas Keuchel to the Mets and get James McCann back? Now, McCann had a brutal year hitting. He hit .232, .294 on base, and a .349 slugging percentage, 10 homers, 46 RBIs.
But his defense is there.
Exactly. He catches the ball when a cutoff man throws it to him. He blocks the ball that it doesn't get past, and like Yasmani Grandal. Pitchers are not afraid to throw their ball in the dirt because they know that McCann can stop the ball where Grandal's got to get off his tail and go get it. Because it gets past him.
Well, I'll tell you something. We do, and Zach Collins is not the answer in my book.
It's a
we
shame.
Do
need nice a, guy,
yeah,
but
we do need a crazy good defensive option behind the plate.
Yeah. I'd love to see, you know, you call the Mets and say, listen, we got a pitcher for you. A left-handed pitcher. You get him on a one-year deal. You can get out next year. It's $18 million. We'll take back. You've already offered McCann. McCann has three more years. $8.15 next year, and then $12.15 each of the next 2 years. So that's 24. That's $32 million for the next 3 years.
So you want to trade heads up Dallas for McCann?
Yeah. Well, they'll we're taking a lot of money off your hands.
Yeah.
You know, and you take Dallas Keuchel. It's $10 million more for you next year, but you're getting a pitcher. You're getting an established ground ball pitcher who, if you can fix, he can pitch for you. And then the White Sox would, you know, they don't need him. Okay, they don't need a Dallas Keuchel. And he's on their team. So if they can move him, they go right ahead and do it. I don't know. Kind of an interesting idea. And the other one is, I had heard from numerous people that Carlos Correa, he got offered a deal, 5 years, $160 million from the Astros. And everybody talked about how it's an embarrassing offer.
Compared to the Lindor thing?
It's an embarrassing offer.
And you can make an argument that Correa is a better player than Lindor.
Right now. Yeah, I think you can. He didn't hit in the World Series. He hit against the White Sox. The last thing he did in the World Series was when he pointed, it's my time. Was that even the World Series? That was the playoffs, wasn't it? Because in the World Series, they only had two homers. They're both from Altuve. So that was against the Red Sox.
That was against the Red Sox.
Yeah, when he pointed to his wrist and says, my time, he didn't do crap after that. So, I mean, whatever. But I heard that the Detroit Tigers are really interested in going out and getting Carlos Correa. Now, why wouldn't they be? But A.J. Hinch is the manager. A.J. Hinch and Correa were in Houston together. And you look at it, and
are there garbage cans involved in the deal?
No, I don't think so. I think they have plastic garbage cans at Tiger Stadium. But the Tigers apparently are trying to spend money. They just signed Tucker Barnhart, the catcher from the Reds. Now, that's not a big money deal, but they have a great young pitching staff. They have this kid Manning. They have Casey Mize. They have like three or four really good young pitchers.
And their catcher killed us at the plate.
Yeah.
What's his name? God, I'm going to have to look it up. Anyway, so
Haas.
Haas.
Yeah, yeah. And then he didn't even catch all the time. But every time he played the White Sox, he hit the crap out of the ball. But so maybe Carlos Correa, which we don't want to see Carlos Correa more than we see him already, if you're a Sox fan.
And we'll see him more in Detroit.
Yeah, the Detroit Tigers are trying to put a team together now. They've got young pitching. They're trying to build. And what better way to build than making a big push in free agency and getting a guy like Carlos Correa?
I think that they're going to be competitive with the White Sox quicker than Minnesota or Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. Cleveland, for years, people go, well, look at Cleveland. Cleveland can't keep their pitchers healthy 1 year to the next. Every year, their pitchers have problems.
Right.
And now they let
a few go.
Yeah, injuries again this year. Yep. They have more injuries. So those are just a couple of, I mean, I love the offseason of baseball. And you're going to get trades, you're going to get free agent signings, but a lot of it may be slowed because of the labor negotiations that are going to have to go on. So I love watching Hot Stove on MLB Network. They're usually on with Matt Vasgersian and Harold Reynolds during the week. It's great watching all of the possibilities and the that may happen or won't happen or could happen. And they talk to all the people during the offseason. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, so maybe Correa goes somewhere, gets out of Houston, especially if, the, if in fact, that was an insult of an offer. Correa just calls A.J. Hinch and says, listen, have your guys come up with a deal. Make me money. I'd like a deal similar to Lindor's. If you don't have that much, we'll work something out.
Yeah, I think I was on the way in. I was listening to MLB Network on Sirius XM. And they were talking about it. The show was entitled Front Office, so a couple of old GMs. And they were really slicing and dicing the Correa situation. And they were both, I mean, they did not mince words. They were just like, that is just, why even bother offering that? That's more of an insult than no offer at all.
Yeah, Carlos Correa is 26. He'll be 27 next year, okay? His so far, this is his first year, his first deal. So he's looking for his big money. He made $1 million in 2018. He made $5 million in 2019. He made $8 million in 2020. And he made $11.7 this year, okay? He's going to, you can triple that money. Mm-hmm. He's likely going to make somewhere around 30
He's the biggest years. Free agent, wouldn't you say? Well, certainly at shortstop.
Yeah.
Biggest free agent.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll see what happens to Carlos Correa. Whatever happens, he's going to be a very, very happy and a very rich man.
I'm sure he will. And him going to Detroit, I don't like that at all.
No, I don't either, because it's going to be a situation where he'll be facing the White Sox quite often. And we saw what he did in the playoffs against the White Sox.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Nope. The Bulls, last night, they had a tough game. They knew it was a home and home. They went into the game a 4-point favorite. And at halftime, they were down double digits. So we come back. We'll talk a little Bulls basketball before we're out of here at 12 o'clock. Fred and Xander here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Volleyballs it. Here comes Zach LaVine. Lonzo. Lob.
Oh, go get it.
Back and toe.
Oh, shot. Slam a jammer.
Two to tie. Three to take the lead.
Here comes Zach.
He wants the lead.
Oh, sriracha.
Oh, highlights courtesy NBC Sports Chicago, Stacey King, and my favorite announcer, Jason Benetti, wearing a tie and everything last night.
Did he do okay by you on the Bulls broadcast?
He did do something he's done in baseball games, too.
What?
A minute and a half into the game, there was no score. He goes, I promise you people, there will be some points scored in this game. There just haven't been any yet. He's done that in the bottom of the first inning in baseball games. Again, just another reason. So anyway.
Now, as goofy as Stacy is, we love him. It's okay to be okay with Jason. You'll get there.
No, that won't happen.
Yeah, you'll get there.
No, won't happen. Won't happen. But anyway, I listened to the whole thing. So, I mean, I can't tell you the list of things I have. But anyway, he also did something. If I'm Will Perdue, I'm pissed. Because he mentioned it matter-of-factly that it was the anniversary of a game that Will Perdue scored just 3 points. And then going to the halftime, he said it again. If I'm Will Perdue, it's like, okay.
Once was enough.
You said it once. Exactly.
Now,
said it once.
Yeah, now twice is, it's.
Now maybe he's probably done games with Will Perdue in the past.
And I'm sure he's needling him and having a little fun.
It was, but sounded vindictive. So. So anyway.
You should host a podcast, the Jason Benetti Spin. You'll analyze everything he says.
Actually, if I want my podcast to get listeners, I should do a podcast with Benetti.
You just probably should. He would be a great. No, he would be a great sport listening to you and your critique. I think he would.
I don't think so. I don't. That's not going to happen. I don't think. So the Sixers come back and they get the win 114-105 yesterday, and Joel Embiid was crazy. He had 30 points, 15 rebounds. He made 11 out of 19 points. He was 4 of 5 from the 3-point range. And Billy Donovan talked about it. The Bulls did it again. They fell behind early. They were only a point down after the first quarter, but by half, they were down by 10. And Billy Donovan says, we just can't keep doing this.
We fought our way back in the game. And I've said this before, you know, when you dig yourself a hole by double digits and you're fighting your way back, you know, the Boston game, okay, great. But it's very, very, more often than not, you're not going to be able to come back and find a way to get back in the game. And I said this, it's a hard way to live that way. And, you know, we've got to be able to, when we're not shooting the ball well, and we didn't shoot the ball great tonight, we've got to find other means to be able to win. And they're obviously a good offensive team, you know, with certainly the way they played tonight, the way they shot the ball the last two games against us from three, we still got to be able to try to defend a little bit better and generate more offense for us off of our defense.
Man, it would be nice. And he talked about how the Bulls didn't shoot well and Philadelphia did. Overall field goal percentage, the Bulls shot 40%. The Sixers shot 53% from the field. From three-point range?
That'll do it.
Yeah, from three-point range, the Bulls were 7 for 29. The Sixers were 13 for 26. That's 50%. And they had this guy, Korkmaz, hit 7 of 9, and he hit them from everywhere yesterday. But you can't have the other team double your three-point. Not only, the Bulls took three more three-pointers than them, but the number that were made were ridiculous.
Unsuccessful.
Yeah. Let's go to Westchester and Brandon. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brandon.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, let me chime in on the Bulls.
Yeah.
My MVP this year so far for the Bulls is Stacey King, man. Stacey King has been on.
He's been great. Yep.
And he does it in a subtle way, his criticism, because he know he works for the organization. So he can't say it in a way that I'll say it or you guys will say it. But he's been on point. And I'm going to tell you, two out of three losses I blame on Billy Donovan. Stacey called it out. I'm screaming at the TV. Stop bringing Vukovic up to set a pick when DeRozan and LaVine doesn't need it. They can beat these guys one-on-one. Yeah, he brings him up to set a screen. He's bringing help. Stacey's pointing that out. And like Stacey said last night, Vukovic needs to get down low and make Embiid work. It's like Embiid ain't even working on defense because he knows you can't score and you're afraid to score. I mean, you guys tell me, who is this guy that we got from Orlando? I didn't watch a lot of Orlando basketball, but last year I gave him a pass because it was a new and it was a pandemic. But it rolled over into this year. As a basketball player, who is he? What does he do well? I don't know. I don't see it. He doesn't have a down low game to post up, and those wide open shots that he misses more. I don't care what the percentages and the numbers say. When I watch him on TV, he misses the shot. He misses the three. He misses the 12-footer. And we need an outside shooter. We're missing the three or four. This Patrick Williams loss is showing up big because last night we could have played him at center and went small. And he was coming on offensively, and he's a great defensive player. I'm a holler. Love you guys.
You're right about that, Brandon. Yeah. He is a really good defensive player. It sucks that Patrick Williams is out. And Vucevic, 5 for 16 yesterday, just 1 of 7 from 3. He had the opportunities. And I'm going to let our guy, I'm going to let our basketball expert, Tyler Rocky, tell us exactly who Vucevic is. Because, again, I didn't watch much Orlando basketball either before he came here. So I saw him when he got here. But they are setting him up for shots. And yesterday, they set him up for 3 shots in the first minute and a half of the game. They wanted to get him started, and it just didn't work.
I think with Vooch, it's just right now it's a matter of shots not falling for him. These are shots that he does make, and right now they're just not working for him. Now, I think another thing, too, is he's not used to having this much talent on the floor alongside him.
Uh-huh.
And this many people who excel with the basketball in their hands. When you look at guys like DeRozan and LaVine, and I know Lonzo doesn't need the ball in his hands to thrive, but he's a guy who facilitates, and I think that's part of them trying, and that probably does work to what you were saying about them trying to get him going early.
Yeah.
Is that he's trying to learn a new sort of game right now. And that's going to take more than, well, how many games have they played now? 7, 8, 9? It's going to take a little bit of time. You probably won't see the true impact of it until 20 or 30 games in.
Sure. Sure. And I mean, they're playing well and they're fun to watch. I mean, they're running up and down the court. They're high flying. He calls them shy slamajama, and that's been all kinds of fun. Stacey's been great, absolutely great. And the caller Brandon brought up a point. I was mentioning this earlier to Tyler, is that there was a time that he called out Zach LaVine because LaVine got the ball and Green was in front of him, Javonte Green. And he says, come on, Zach, you got to pass the ball to Green. He'll go in for the basket. He didn't do it. He goes, you got to do these kind of things. Keep it a team. Do the passing in that. Mm-hmm. The very next play, Lonzo Ball got the ball, threw an alley-oop to Javonte Green, who was in front, and slammed it. And you hear Stacey going, that's what I'm talking about, Zach. That's what you got to do to keep everybody involved. So Brandon was right. If you listen to Stacey will call out the defensive lapses. He'll call out when one guy's
being... And that's what we want out of an analyst.
That's exactly what you want.
Right, but he does it in a way that isn't hammer over the head.
No, he does it great. I thought it was wonderful. So, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've got something going on Tuesday I want to mention before we get out of here. At Dunning Poorhouse on Addison between 7 and 9, Team ESPN 1000 is going to be there. It's about hockey. It'll be Chicago facing Pittsburgh with a new coach, Ice Cold Coors Light on special. Hockey swag will be given away to ESPN Chicago. Nissan Titan will be on site.
Cool.
Be responsible with your celebration.
Yes. Very, very cool. Blackhawks have a game today. Derek King, their new head coach, or the interim head coach, they take on the Nashville Predators. Don't forget, I'll be here tomorrow.
That's a win.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
That'll be their second of the year.
I'll be here tomorrow after the Bears game against the Steelers. Xander and I will be back, I'm sure, next week.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll do that. Thanks to Tyler Rocky. Thanks to you for listening here on ESPN 1000.